Hello, David. I'm going to sit this way this podcast.
Wait, what?
I've decided to rotate. Mm-hmm. I don't usually sit facing the table straight on. I found because I kind of sit like this, so I'm mostly straight on, but I'm also angled towards you, which is kind of rude to David. Mm-hmm. So this episode, I'm just going to sit like this.
That's going
to talk directly uncomfortable. Into his. What do you mean? I wonder how long I can go without blinking, just staring deeply into your eyes. Speaking erotic thoughts. Or neurotic thoughts. One or the other. Or both.
Both. Yeah. Why not both here?
Just talk about sexual things and then the diseases that we'll get from them. And yeah.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 293. My name is Andy.
Mine isn't.
And I'm Dave.
My name is Andy.
Yep, one third of us are named Andy.
Well, at least we haven't verified. We haven't verified that all of the names for all of us. So at least
But we verified that his name is Andy. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mine isn't.
Oh yes, yes.
And
yes.
Your name is Dave.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's possible that two thirds of us are named Dave.
Yes.
But we know that only one third of us are named Andy.
You are correct.
I did so many logic puzzles back in the day on like plane flights, the ones with the little like grid.
Yeah.
The one where you just connect two lines?
No.
And then you try to seal them off, and then you put your initial in them?
I did that, too.
I did a lot of those.
Yeah. No, the X's and O's, and like you're like, well, the person in cell block A is either the arsonist or the murderer. And then the other one would be like, the bank robber is in the cell block in between the, and so on and so on.
You've always got to tie everything back to murder.
Correct. But so, like, you know, and then it's little subtle stuff. Like, if he's in between two other people, he can't be A or E because those are, you know, he's got to be B, C, or D. And then once you know that, like, the arsonist can't be A, well, then the earliest the arsonist can be is B, which means the bank robber can't be B because he has to be post-arsonist, so you got him down to C and D, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Those and Kakuro, which at the time they were called cross sums, were my two favorite of the logic puzzle book things. See, I'm facing Andy again. I think I'm right-handed.
Yeah. No, I feel left out.
I'm sorry.
I learned the other day that Bumblebee is falling. I didn't learn that the other day, but Bumblebee is.
Is that like a sequel to Olympus is Falling? Yeah. It's like a crossover.
Yeah, he's angled off the camera.
Oh, his legs are, yeah. Well, he's actuated. He needs something to hold up this other foot. I believe in you, Bumblebee.
Why are you holding him there?
Oh, no. Well, now he's lounging. There we go. He's there.
He just slowly fell into frame. That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, now it looks like he's just like relaxing. You know, he's like leaning up against the wall.
I think his crotch broke.
Well, you know, that happens to all of us eventually as we get older. Yeah. Our crotch stops
personal
working.
Issues.
Yeah. No, I learned an unfortunate thing from my friend. I'm not sure if I call it the school at all, but his kids are learning Common Core math.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
No,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
You've used Common Core math in your head for your entire life? Because all of us do math Common Core style. It's just they're finally teaching it in schools.
Oh.
Also, let me say, somebody that can be described as a mathematician, because I have literally published proofs in journals.
Sure.
Common Core is awesome because it is actually more closely related to number theory, to some of the underlying mathematics behind how arithmetic is taught in elementary school and middle school, and then more complex math topics at the high school level. It's honestly awesome, and I am glad that it's actually managed to not pull out the torches and pitchforks quite as much as the new math in the 70s.
Yeah.
Because my God, I went back and read some of the stuff on the new math, and holy shit, things would be awesome if the parents in the 70s weren't willing to burn civilization down to stop it. Because new math in the 70s was set theory, or at least heavily based on set theory. And do you know what operates almost entirely on set theory?
Well, obviously I do, but for the listeners at home.
Computer science. Okay. It was like literally in the 70s we were trying to teach school children the underlying theory behind computer science. And this apparently was too too revolutionary for the time. But just think what would have happened during the computer revolution if an entire generation of kids had the theoretical background of computer science going into college.
Or hadn't burned down the Library of Alexandria.
Yeah, that too.
But yeah, you know, like when you're like counting out money, you don't carry the one and stuff. You're like, well, I mean, that's 27. So then another 10's 37. And then minus 2 is 35. So that's, you know, 8. And like, that's kind of how we all do it in our brains naturally. And that's basically what Common Core is that same style of natural math.
But it's different. I don't like.
It's different. No like. Yeah. Different. No like.
Yeah.
it's old man yells at cloud.
Some of the meme examples I've seen though are basically is like this doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm old and I'm not brought up learning that. It's kind of like learning a new language, I guess. Then that would be a different
as
way
a Tom
to
Lear fan.
I don't know who Tom Lear is.
Great songs you'd enjoy, you know, Vatican Rag, Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, Masochism Tango, great stuff. He went to Harvard. He did, he was a comedy singer from, like, the 50s, 60s, and whatever. Mm-hmm. Still kicking, 90-something years old, but whatever. Great songs. I'll play you some sometime. Anyway, he had a song from when our childhood math came out, singing about how stupid it was that kids were learning this new way of doing math. And the whole song is making fun of the concept of, like, carrying a 1, mm-hmm. like, to subtract 18 from 25. It's like, well, you can't take 8 from 5. 8's bigger than 5, so you have to cross this and that 1 and then the 1 there. But now it's 2, but really 1. And he's, like, mocking it. And it's like, you're just carrying the 1, dude. Like, it's not that thing. So seeing people do it again to Common Core, I'm just like, yeah, this is just how it always is. This newbie scary.
Yeah, no, like I now that I'm thinking about it, is it's really just basically like a different language. I mean, it's a different language to basically say the same thing. It just it seems like a lot of work to do to come up with a result.
Yeah, but it's not actually more work. It's just that we're so used to the other work, we don't see it as work.
Yeah,
like the steps of carrying the 1 is more complicated than it looks. We just are so used to it. Like, the one that pisses me off that people post every once in a while is the side-by-side video of somebody doing the same math problem with Common Core versus new math. Yeah. And on the left, the new math person does it in 10 seconds, and then they make some tea, they watch a movie, they take a nap. And on the right, the person's still doing the Common Core one. Except the video they pick is of somebody pausing and explaining every single step. It's like, when someone's doing something slowly to explain how they're doing it, it'll take longer than somebody who does it as fast as possible. This isn't a surprise. This is disingenuous. And I strangle my computer, but it doesn't kill the person who posted it.
Yeah, that's. I have the same response to people posting memes about Common Core, like the one about their kid getting counted off for doing 3 times 5 differently from 5 times 3.
Sure.
Because most people, I mean, this is a core. This is a number theory. This is an algebra thing. Is that 3 times 5 and 5 times 3 are completely separate operations? It just happens that in standard algebra they have the same result. And they are not guaranteed to have the same result across all algebras. And I just said the word algebras, and I think Andy's eyes rolled back in his head.
I'm just wondering what that fly belt does on Bumblebee. Because there is, I mean, is that what runs his
It
his
keeps
balls?
His crotch going, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to guess.
It's driving his nuts.
It's driving him nuts.
Yeah, that's that's what the wheel is for.
I mean, my guess is it does nothing for him when he's bipedal.
Probably, yeah.
But it's got to go somewhere.
Somebody made a design choice to put that right there, though. I mean, that could be up by his heart or something like that. You know, that could be like.
Well, something had to go there. What would be better? I mean, is the exhaust pipe hanging out?
Gas can.
Well, sure, if you're going to go to the Michael Bay one. Stop lubricating that man. Fuck you, Michael Bay. Do you like the distracted boyfriend meme that I posted that I was supposed to show you last episode, but I forgot, so I posted it on our Facebook instead?
Yes, and I also provided that to Thundercracker. I don't know if you follow Thundercracker.
No, I don't know what a Thundercracker is.
He's just a meme poster.
Oh.
But it's all dealing with Transformers and all the Seeker jets for Transformers.
Distracted Allspark.
Yeah. Fuck Hot Rod.
Yeah, well, you know, he's the savior we deserve. Because he didn't die like a bitch.
Yeah. Damn it. Open. No, I was quoting.
Sure.
Because that was when Magnus was trying to over on Junkion. And he was like, damn it. Open.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Announcements.
Yeah, we have a couple announcements.
Pegasus Games is going out of business.
They're closing. Kind of, and that is also out of business.
Yes, yes, that one is a consequence of the other. Yes,
when a business closes, they go out of business.
When a business goes out of business,
it also closes.
I don't know usually. If I should mention it though, but I showed up on Thursday just check things out. Store is fucking packed and busy as hell.
Yeah. They've been stripped.
Yeah.
Like feeding frenzy.
Yeah.
But some is also possibly just nostalgia. Like people mm-hmm. who haven't had the time to go down to the local game store, they hear it's closing. They're like, oh, I love that store. And they go and mm-hmm. visit it. And then they buy some stuff for clearance.
Yep. I think my Guild Ball event that's happening there on the 16th is the very last event that's happening at Pegasus.
Yeah, they shut down the next day.
Because they closed down all of the weekend events. But I verified through them that my last run Guild Ball event at Pegasus Games is still happening on the 16th. So we're going to have like a casual corner potentially for it. So we're going to try to run an actual tournament and then have, if anybody wants to just come and play Guild Ball, we'll have a side section there. I was going to mention on Thursday, I don't know if it, I'm going to say it anyway, who cares? But Lori had mentioned that she had gotten a couple potential buyers after the announcement of the closing.
Oh.
So some financials, I guess, were being sent out. So it's possible.
I mean, that happens sometimes.
But at the same time, you know, it sucks because it's a store that I've been to since I moved to Madison.
Of course, now somebody has to buy an empty game store since they've sold so much.
But at the same time, though, then you're not dealing with buying out-of-date stock.
Yeah, true.
You'd be able to get deals in through game publishers. You'd be able to put whatever you want into the store. So it's basically all you're really doing is just paying for the rent and new stock to go there. So, I mean, that might help out them possibly keeping the store going, potentially, if that's the case. But that was Thursday, so who knows? I've since
reading the article about the closing, and they had quoted like the person who owns the Mox right across the street, and the person's like, yeah, you know, they're an institution, it's sad to see them go, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you opened up a magic store across the street from this game store that you're bemoaning. You killed it. Like, you're definitely part of it.
Yeah.
Like, because game stores do not make their profit on minis and board games. They make their profit on collectible card games. That is the pays the rent so that they can have the other stuff, whatever. Like, some profit comes in, but that's not how they make their freaking money. It's like how movie theaters don't make their money off the tickets. They make their money off of the concessions.
Correct.
Like, and so, I mean, I'm sure that's not why they picked the location. They picked the location for, like, the space was available. I know they grew out of their old place downtown, but that can't have not had an impact on Pegasus profits, having a focused magic store across the street.
And over in Middleton, too. Not that far away from Pegasus, maybe about a 10-minute drive from Pegasus is I'm Bored, which is a nice store. A lot of good folks that run it, but they specialize directly with board games and then some of the Games Workshop games, too.
And they also apparently they're doing well enough. They opened a second location in Sun Prairie.
I'm Boarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
Yeah, they have one. I've been trying to find a new place for their Tuesday night Guild Ball. Checked out I'm Bored. That's possible, but he also tried to push me towards the Sun Prairie store, and I'm not going to drive to Sun Prairie on a Tuesday to play Guild Ball. I barely would drive down to Misty.
That's actually a longer drive than from my house to here.
Oh, to go to Misty or to go to Sun Prairie?
From my house to come to here or to Pegasus or to Noble Knight, for that matter.
Is longer than him to Sun Prairie or vice versa?
Vice versa.
Vice versa, yes. You going to Sun Prairie be very far, is yes. what
yeah.
David said.
Okay.
yeah, I'm,
I, thank I, you. Yeah. you confuse me with words.
yeah. I mean, there's Noble Knight is also relatively close, although with the construction on the intersection of PD and Verona, Noble Knight might as well be in a different state.
yeah, it's much better now. The whole bridge is up now.
That's good. So, I mean, I remember the time I went to we went to a movie and we came down PD, like from your area, and I got through that light, and then it's 100 feet on the other side of that light is the theater. But yep. Raylene was like two cars behind me, so she didn't get there. It was like another half hour before she got to the movie theater.
Yeah, I've been on times where so you've got the lights at the intersection, mm-hmm. then the lights behind that by the PDQ, and then the lights behind that, which is the lights to Target. I've been stuck all the way up the hill near Target, yeah. waiting for those lights to change. So the lights over by the PDQ would change, and then two cars would be able to move up. Yeah. Then they would turn red. Then all the cars that are in front of that light would be able to go through. And it's the worst.
Here's something, just a driving tip. And I've been honked at by people who don't understand this concept and they can fuck themselves. If the light is green for your intersection, but the car on the other side of the intersection in your lane is stopped because the next light is red, don't pull up into the goddamn intersection. You stop in front of this green light.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because that way, when your light turns red before they move, because the next light is also red, cross traffic isn't fucked because your dumb ass is in the middle of the intersection. Yeah,
that is also a traffic citation.
Correct. Yeah. But people do it, and they fill that in, and then so the cross traffic turns green and just sits there impotently watching a light that they can't do anything for. Yeah. And it's just goddamn don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conversely, though, if somebody is turning left and is in the intersection on red, don't be an asshole because it's a perfectly legal and acceptable change, an acceptable drive if you are in the intersection when the light turns red if you are turning left.
Correct.
If you are going straight and you're in the intersection when the light turns red, you're an asshole.
I have been behind people in the left turn lane with their left turn signal on who refused to pull into the intersection because there was oncoming traffic. Yeah. It's like pull forward into the intersection so you can finish it after it turns red. But they just sat there, and then the light turned red, so they stayed there. And I'm like, you fucker, I could have went.
yeah. But, I mean, so, yeah, Noble Knight is a really nice place.
It's a very nice place.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say Misty is pretty solid, too. I haven't been there really since the cell. I
just had my board game day at Noble Knight Games. Mm-hmm. Thanks to both of you for not coming.
I was in a different state.
I was, too.
Yeah.
I was in a different state from Andy.
Where were you?
Iowa.
I was in another I state.
So. Yeah.
Iowa's pretty fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you went to the team tournament over there. Sweet.
Speaking of Iowa, shout out to Michael at the who we played his team in the team event, who recognized me by voice from Crippled System.
well, I Where I'm trying to figure out where else he would recognize you by voice.
I don't know. I mean, this was
were you moonlighting on us? What the hell?
the conversation was your voice is really familiar. Do you listen to Crippled System? Yes. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I usually apologize.
Yeah, that's the first thing I always do. Somebody says they're like, "Oh man, I love Crippled System." I'm like, "I'm sorry." no, I too ran into a couple folks. Actually, one of some of the people at Zappity Crumbled a couple weeks ago, and Zappity Crumbled today was at the Gil Ball event.
Sure.
Which that went pretty good. What's the plans for? I know this is probably not the greatest of topic, but
we're just going to discuss our relocation.
Yeah,
it's probably not the greatest of topic.
yeah, but you know, I am curious. Is the War Machine crew going to be heading over to Misty then, or
Noble Knight? We are hoping for Noble Knight because the War Machine community is pretty heavily biased towards the west side of town.
Sure.
I think what we may end up trying to do is have Wednesdays at Noble Knight, depending on if they've got room, because they do have Warhammer that night.
That's a good night to what I wanted to make sure of wherever we would be relocated to is that we didn't go say like, hey, let's play in Andy's basement for the next 4 years because that doesn't promote growth.
Yeah.
because nobody knows where Andy's basement is.
It's under Andy's house.
Yeah. Oh. And it's also very creepy to go to the game store and you see somebody looking at War Machine stuff and you're like, hey, why don't you come over to Andy's basement?
Yes. As somebody sitting in Andy's basement right now, I can verify that it is very creepy here.
Now I want to get up the money to buy Pegasus Games and rename it Andy's Basement.
And then nothing on the top floor. It's just like abandoned, so it looks like The Walking Dead. And then there's just one flight of stairs, creaky flight of stairs that go downstairs.
And then I kill him.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to do that.
Oh, I do. I do have to. The voice is
Are you going to get a truck then to store all your bodies in?
No, they'll just be piled at the bottom of the stairs.
Oh, okay. Then just get a slide. That way you can shoot them at the top of the stairs. They just slide to the bottom.
Ah, or I could go to barber school and get a chair that collapses and then drops people down the slide, and then the person beneath me can open a meat pie shop.
Or you could be, I'm trying to draw this into other things. Did you hear about the family that ended up with like 2 feet of blood in their basement?
Yes.
From a meat shop next door?
Oh, I thought it was their supply.
No, it wasn't their supply. No, it was like from some kind of slaughterhouse that was next door to them.
I knew it was from a slaughterhouse, but I thought like that they owned the slaughterhouse or something. Like that was the family that ran it. I didn't know it was just their neighbors.
It was their neighbors.
The abattoir's supply just dumped into there.
Good Lord. Can you imagine like just getting up, going downstairs and like, I'm going to do my laundry. Oh, my God. Oh, and the smell would have been horrendous.
Gornis in chat says it's one of the best War Machine podcasts, which I guess maybe he's talking about us, but there's no context, so I'm going to assume that it's off topic. Are there any other War Machine podcasts still? There's Chain Attack.
There's Chain Attack and the Meta.
Oh, the Meta doesn't count.
Boosted Rolls.
Who?
It's, Tomas. Tomas runs it, and he's one of the best players in the world.
Thomas?
Tomas.
Thomas?
It's pronounced sure. Dumas.
Tumass. Oh, I want to call every person's name is Thomas Tumass. What's going on, Tumass?
That's all in jest. That is not... You have a good podcast out there, so...
Yes, they are fine.
It's kind of dwindling in that regard, but I mean, there's
the cream rises to the top.
Well, so does shit.
Depending on what you ate, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sinks.
Yeah.
I aim for neutrally buoyant.
You have a layer of water, a layer of oil, and then shit just is in between. Is that what
Well, if it was neutrally buoyant, I wouldn't need the layer of oil. Yeah, it would do that true. Naturally of its own accord.
Yeah.
But that's why I eat styrofoam packing peanuts, is to keep that ballast in there.
Fair.
What were we talking about?
Sewage chemistry.
No, prior to that, game stores or something.
Game stores, yeah.
Yeah, game stores closings.
Yeah, I think we'll end up at Noble Knight one night a week and then maybe try to do weekends at the Baudry.
Oh, and yeah, the other thing along with the Andy's Basement thing is that I could run like a 32-man tournament at my house.
Yeah, that's true.
Just have like, a game per room upstairs. Yeah.
I'm seeing if I can get the 3x3 tables that are over at Pegasus.
Those are too small. You need 4x4.
No, I'm talking about for Guild Ball.
Well, nobody plays Guild Ball.
I have a lot of people that play Guild Ball.
No, they play Classic WoW. I've been there on Tuesdays.
last week we had eight folks there, but Classic WoW is. So good.
I can't throw stones, but I did. I had the week where there were more people playing Monster Apocalypse than Guild Ball, and I was all happy. And then immediately, everybody stopped playing both games. Like Tuesday, just nosedived.
You won, and then everyone went home.
Yep. Like Classic WoW came out. Whoa. Bye.
It's scary how many of people on my friends list are playing Classic WoW. When you log in to the Blizzard launcher, I just see five to ten people all playing Classic WoW.
Yeah, no interest there. Been there, done that, have the divorce papers.
Yeah, you have bad memories.
My bad memories of Classic WoW were that I played some WoW.
Yeah.
Those are my bad memories of Classic WoW. That's the entirety of the story.
But was it Classic?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. I started in like a graveyard or something, and then I got bored after 10 minutes.
Okay.
You should play with Andy. come
are you coming on to me?
Come play with Andy. In my basement.
As I said,
come play in Andy's basement. Yep.
Mm. I can set up a LAN party down here. Mm. You can figure out what LAN means.
So what do you tap for mana?
Hmm? My nipple.
What? Manipool?
Yeah, my nipple. Manipool.
Wow! What? Anyway.
We still have announcements. So this coming weekend is GameholeCon.
Woo!
Which is taking place over Halloween weekend, unfortunately.
Or fortunately.
Or fortunately.
Trick or treat on Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of cool things there. If you want tickets, I'm sure they're still available. There's a lot of good. Well, no. I haven't heard. Wow. I haven't seen the announcement saying that they're sold out. I don't think it's. You trying to throw shade on me for
I guarantee they're still available because nobody wants to go.
No, I'm not.
I would say I may show up for it.
Yeah, but there's they hold a lot of cool events. I mean, the one neat of thing about GameholeCon is that their special guests are basically forced to run events.
Yeah, yeah, it's a neat thing.
Forced.
Just with like a whip, you know, Alex Kamer sitting there with the whip.
Well, it's part of their Greenwood contract.
So, I mean, do they go in? So, I mean, is the process for finding a special guest recruiting or hunting?
That explains why John Leguizamo's there so often.
I had no idea the pest was like a
one. I know. That's a callback.
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought it was just John Leguizamo being John Leguizamo. Isn't it kind of that way?
I want to see a movie with John Larroquette, John Lithgow, and John Leguizamo just because, you know.
Three Johns?
With the Weird Al last names.
With the Weird Al last names.
Weird Al last names.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Weird Al.
Yeah, they all have Weird Al's last name. Didn't you know that? That's their
John
middle
Yankovic
name.
John Yankovic?
No, it's, yeah. Well, they all had the same name, and so they had to, like, that's a professional thing. Like Michael J. Fox, because there was already a Michael Fox in Hollywood, and because of the way that the Actors Guild works.
Yeah.
So it's little known trivia that John Lithgow's his middle name, his full name is John Lithgow Yankovic. Same with John Larroquette and John Leguizamo. It's John Larroquette Yankovic. But because there was already a John Yankovic working in Hollywood, he's a makeups artist, they all had to go by their middle names.
Who had one line, so he's got a sag.
Yeah, exactly. He was the guy that threw the bottle at the can
at Malkovich.
Yeah, the can at Malkovich and says, you know, up yours, Malkovich. That's Jonathan Yankovic.
No, I think it was
artist.
Heads up.
You're right. See, you know all about this. So
yeah, I do. Yeah.
Heads up. I wonder how that guy's credited. Is he just Heads Up Yankovic? Heads up Yankovic. John Yankovic as Heads Up Malkovich.
Oh, God.
My favorite is in the movie Election. There is a, during like one of their, not press conferences, where the shit that they have in school where you have to go to the
assembly.
Gym. Assembly. During one of the school assemblies, somebody's giving a speech and a kid in the stands says, "Eat me." And then somebody else says, "Yeah, eat me raw." And in the credits, they're listed as Eat Me Boy and Friend of Eat Me Boy, which means somebody's acting resume has Friend of Eat Me Boy as their SAG credit.
Nice. Nice.
And that's why I sit through the credits in movies even before the Marvel movies, because that's where you find out shit like that guy's name is Friend of Eat Me Boy.
Talking about things that should not be. I saw, so Kevin Smith runs a little podcast that's been around for a while. And they do a thing called Hollywood Babylon. And one of the episodes there is they have a segment called Things That Should Not Be. And like one of the very first ones I saw was in Back to the Future Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Emmett children and his wife. And there's the kid there is just pointing to his dick.
Yeah. Yeah. At the
just,
end.
Just
yeah.
At the end. They're all sitting there lined up on the train. And the kid is just literally just pointing at his dick.
Well, he's got his hand like on his waistband and he like puts his finger on him. Yeah. Like, wiggles his finger. And I'm sorry. It's Eat Me Boy's buddy.
Oh, okay.
Eat Me Boy and Eat Me... Nick Kenny as Eat Me Boy's buddy. Yeah, no, the kid pointing at his dick and nobody noticed it. The movie was shot, edited.
It was in theaters. I think it was finally caught on video.
Yeah. All filmography.
That's
his only role.
Does he have a picture of him?
No, it just has a picture of the election.
It probably cost them money to put your picture up on IMDb.
He's got his IMDb biography, and it says Nick Kenny is an actor known for election. That's it.
Aw. What a way to go is to have your SAG credit and then probably be blacklisted for speaking out.
So I was looking at Eat Me Boy, and he has two credits. He has Eat Me Boy in Election, and then as himself in a TV series documentary called True Inside, where it's himself Eat Me Boy. So it must have been a documentary about him being in that movie.
And Eat Me Boy's friend didn't even get a credit for that?
No credit for Eat Me Boy's buddy.
Oh, it was a television series thing, so they probably couldn't use Eat Me Raw live.
Maybe, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Eat Me Boy's buddy.
Oh, you got a Samsung, too.
No, I don't. This is a Pixel 3.
Oh. It's got the same type of...
Because it runs on Google.
The same operating system, yeah.
Yeah. I have a Samsung, too.
I was looking at the Samsung Folds because the new ones apparently have higher technology, so they won't fail as much. But yeah. They're also $1 billion, so I chose not to buy one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the next year. Microsoft is coming out with an Android phone that folds that I'm actually somewhat interested in because their Surface.
It's a Microsoft phone, though.
It's an Android phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I have no interest in Microsoft phone, but now they've decided they're actually going to put out an Android device. And their Surface line has been really good hardware. My wife has a Surface laptop and loves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gets a little out of hand when phones are as big as your tablet. Like, there's this thing where phones get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's a certain point where you just have a tablet at this point. But having something this size that fits in your pocket that then just unfolds to be that size seems like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
I'd just be absolutely terrified of wear and tear on it.
Well, let's get the extended warranty.
Yeah.
That's why I had an extended warranty on my phone, and this is my third phone in 2 weeks because... I'll get that. I apparently put the case on this one without peeling the plastic off of the camera light here.
That's how you get your glamour shots.
Okay, sure.
It's just a little fuzzy. It's kind of. I noticed when I was taking the pictures of El Diablo Barbudo, when I was taking the selfies on there, I must have had some schmutz on my screen because it was all glamour shot. And I was like, I didn't realize that that's what it was. Until I clean it off.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Special
announcement. This is something that Dave or Nathan doesn't know. I don't expect Dave to go, but I got a call from Judge Mathis.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're looking for more people.
Who are you going to sue?
That was so perfect last time where Raylene got to sit where the bailiff or the defendant was in the way, so no, she ended up not being on television.
Yeah.
That was kismet.
I mean, technically, that's I found out from a different podcast that if you wanted to go see Judge Judy, you actually have to have a SAG card. They want people who know or actually have been on television before to be in the audience.
What if I was on an episode of Cops?
Well, I mean, I think you could probably get that.
Season and episode?
Yeah. Tell me, what episode? Were you on Cops?
What?
Why is that not our intro? If you were on Cops, why is that
drunk sitting on the curb? Whatever, man. I was at a Tommy Chong impersonator conference at the time.
Oh, okay. So. No, but I think technically we should have television credits for being on Judge Mathis.
To be in SAG, you have to speak. That's why Heads Up Malkovich got into SAG because he said that line.
Yeah,
nobody else in the back of that truck. Got SAG from that.
Oh, I guess we wouldn't get a SAG card, but we can get credit for it, though.
If I shout it out and they kept it in...
No, they wouldn't do that.
But if they did, if I said something so awesome that Judge Mathis was like, you're the best, Nathan, and then we hugged, and then I would end up on the credits and he'd be my new dad.
That's not going to happen at all.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah.
can in my head.
I get, in a movie, it might work that way. Were you trying to prove that Judge Mathis is your dad?
I was kind of doing a subtle Joker reference. Did you guys get around to seeing Joker yet?
Nope.
No.
What's wrong with you?
I want to see it, but
it's miserable. But if you enjoy misery, it's really good. Mm-hmm.
Since Tuesdays are now open for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Good.
$5 Tuesdays, all of a sudden it's up again. Ooh. I accidentally bought two sets of tickets for Star Wars.
Oh.
Well, I bought the second set on purpose, but I did not purposely make it so that I had to buy a second set. Oh. I accidentally made it necessary to purposely buy a second set.
What? Is it like family?
No, so tickets went live.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice for like 4 minutes, which means that Thursday was all sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it works. Right. So I go and I look at Thursday on the Ultra screen at 6 o'clock and it's packed full. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fine, fuck. So I'll just wait a day. I can avoid spoilers for a day. I'll just, you know, drink a bottle of NyQuil and sleep through Thursday and then I'll go on Friday. And so I click on Friday, Ultra screen, 6 o'clock showing. Tickets are all available. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I must be in this magic moment where it's in between the two. So I buy the perfect seats, F11 and F12. Those are my go-to two seats. Mm-hmm. Get them. Check out. Confirmation comes up, and it's like, congratulations. You know, you've got your tickets for Friday, blah, 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 which the blah, blah, blah I then notice is the week after opening week. So I bought tickets for the next Friday, not the following day, which I don't know how the hell that happened because I would have noticed clicking an entire different week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I clicked the following Friday and it bumped me either way. So now I've got tickets for a week after on the Ultra screen. I'm like, well, shit, I can't wait a full week. So I check again on Thursday, but I look on the non-Ultra screen, just one of the other 500, and I got the last two seats for the 6:30 showing like in a normal theater. So I have opening day right after work, and then I have a week later on the Ultra screen.
No, the thing about buying tickets that annoys me is that I live just about equidistant between Marcus Palace and Marcus Point.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently, I shouldn't say frequently. I have once ordered tickets for the wrong one, got into the theater, and it's like, wait a second, why isn't it accepting my ticket? Go to the counter, and it's like, oh, you're at the one on the other side of town. Well, shit.
Oh, you just reminded me of the fact that on Thursday when I go there, it's going to print out my tickets for the following Friday because there's, I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
It should ask which tickets do you want to print.
No, you want to print them now.
Oh my god!
So you can lose them.
Oh, I hate that it does that.
We found tickets you have purchased.
Why do you print it? Don't you just have the code on your phone?
Maybe I'll do that this time. I normally go to the kiosk in the entryway in the vestibule, and it spits out my actual tickets.
I love the word vestibule.
Vestibule is a good word.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I just normally get it to text me the little code on my tablet and show that.
So. I bought that, and then I also bought tickets for a concert on Pi Day in Chicago. I bought two tickets because I figured I'll get somebody to go with me, but I haven't figured out who yet.
Who's playing?
Huh?
Who's playing?
Devin Townsend.
Okay.
I would see it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. I figured it would either be you or my other wife.
your actual married wife?
Yeah, yeah. I got two significant others, right? I got my podcast wife and my actual married wife.
That really made me happy.
Aww.
It's like, so my Gilball event, so went down to the Second Wind, hosted by the guys that do the Strictly the Worst podcast, which is their, it's a great name. I love the name of their podcast.
That was the next question. Is that the name or a description?
Nope, that's both.
Or both. Okay.
It's both. It's Strictly the Worst is the name of the Gilball podcast. But they... they're probably some of the best Gilball players in the world, like every single member of them. But they hold the Second Wind event, which is at a brewery down in Chicago. It's a pretty decent place. Fit like 70-some people there for the Gilball event. I went 3 and 4. Turns out my very first game there, I lost against the guy who won the whole thing. And my second game, I won. My third game, I took on somebody who was almost in the finals and lost that too. Yeah.
Strength of schedule is a thing.
Strength of schedule is pretty good. I still ended up middle of the road because I did end up losing, you know, more games.
No.
But at the end of the whole thing, as I was helping them clean up, because the ATC or WITC committee, we provided all the clocks for them.
The ATC or the what?
WITC committee. We provided all the clocks for them for the event, which was pretty cool. But I was talking to the guy who won it all, which was Peter Williamson, who's from New Zealand.
He's a Kiwi.
Yeah. He actually traveled to the WTC from New Zealand, stayed over for holiday to go to the, I don't know if he stayed in Chicago, which I hope he didn't, because that's, you know, that's Chicago. But no, but he ended up telling me at the very end, as we were cleaning up, and he was like, yeah, I was probably one of his best games that he had over the day. At least potentially the most challenging, because I threw him back where he had to actually play hard. So that was a nice compliment.
Yeah. Your record reminds me of I was at the Michigan Cup and Michigan GT 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and the GT in the solo event. And I mean, I was exhausted and was considering not even playing in the solo event because I was there for the team event, because team events are what I do.
Yeah.
And so first round at the solo event, I'm paired into JVM. And so, I mean, literally I come one, if I could have rolled a crit on three dice, I would have won. And, but I didn't. I was looking at the odds and I was looking at the board state and I was like, this is JVM. If I roll the crit, I win. If not, I might be able to attrition my way out. I mean, you always have this calculus of how good is the player and how risky is the assassination I'm willing to go for, depending on how good the player is. And,
right.
And I mean, JVM is one of the best players in the Western Hemisphere, if not the whole planet. And I'm like, yeah, if I roll a crit on three dice, the game's over. I couldn't do it. And then roll.
Still, like, if those odds are like 40%, that means you're giving yourself 40% odds of winning, and those are good odds, to your point, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're playing against somebody who you think is a much poorer player than you are, and you've got a 90% chance of beating them the long time, then going for the 40% is a bad decision.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to do those on the fly calculations.
Yeah. But yeah, if I rolled the crit, I would have won. And then I still had a game if I could have actually rolled anywhere close to average. But then I rolled under 7 on three dice, four damage rolls in a row, and the game just kind of fell apart at that point.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure that's what I was hearing. You know?
Yes. No, this is, I mean, it's a dice. It's a dice game. It happened. I was pretty happy with the situation I was in, but I lost. I needed a certain, a certain level of dice luck and could not get it, but it was a game against a very good player and I was okay with the results. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, now I'm going into the fun bracket, so this will be fine. And then my next round was against Chuck Elswick, who won both the Masters and Champions at Gen Con. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chuck
is also, but he's a really nice player to play.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy.
What I've said kind of along the lines that similar to what you're talking about is I can beat a good player, I can win with bad luck, and I can win while making mistakes, but I cannot win if two of those three things happen.
Yeah.
Right? If I make no mistakes and have good luck against a good player, I will win.
Yeah.
You know, if I have mistakes but have good dice against a bad player, yeah, I can win. You know, but if it's a good player and you got bad dice, you're just done.
Yep. Yep. And that's what happened. And then I ran over Chuck's caster with the train. It was great.
Choo-choo.
So yeah, that was the JVM first round, Chuck in the second round. It's like, okay, and it's like fun bracket. Oh no. But
yeah, just looking, so Gilball has got Longshanks to keep track of all their scores and all tournaments and that, and they also run kind of like a ranking of players.
The IBAGO5 with the those ranking things. What's those ranking things called, David?
But Longshanks has got that, and my ranking at the beginning of the day was under sub 300.
Yeah,
and ELO, they're
rating? ELO.
ELO, it's a name.
Yeah, no, Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah,
the okay, you know what? Down. Yes, it's an Electric Light Orchestra rating.
But anyway, both those guys' rankings were above 600.
Mm-hmm.
For there. My second round, I actually took on the guy who created Longshanks as well. So overall, that event was awesome. I got some free beer from it, which reminds me I need to bring down something from upstairs because we need to have a new RC10 moment. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
So why are the chess rankings named after the 80s arena rock band, Electric Light Orchestra.
Because it
happens to have
well.
happens to have the initialism as the same as the last name of a mathematician who I think is Hungarian.
Did he play for them?
For ELO? Sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good songs by ELO as well, too. Oh,
they're a wonderful band, and people need to embrace it.
Yep.
Mr. Blue Sky, fuck yeah.
I didn't realize that was them until I it was in some trailer or something I saw recently, and then I looked them up and I'm like, oh,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is prejudiced against that style of music. Bands like them or Supertramp, like those bands are legitimately good artists, but they don't get the respect they deserve.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a piece of shit.
Well, that too.
Seriously, you look at their nominations that they've had over the many, many years, okay? And you compare it to people that deservedly be in there, like fucking Deep Purple. I think Deep Purple is finally going in this year.
What about Deep Blue Something?
What?
The guys who did Breakfast at Tiffany's?
It's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hey, how dare you?
Yeah.
That's rock and roll, as much as some other bands that got in there.
That's the other issue I have about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, I understand that it's, you know, if you're going to accept all these other bands and artists that are technically not rock and roll, then they should just change it to the Music Hall of Fame.
Isn't like Run DMC in there or something?
Yeah, well, they had a crossover with Aerosmith, but do you think
they sang half a song with Aerosmith?
Do you think that half a song with Aerosmith is more influential than like Motorhead?
Apparently. If Motorhead's so good, why aren't they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Why did it take Judas Priest so long to get into the Hall of Fame?
Homophobia.
That's probably very true there.
It is an unfortunate thing that some genres like punk and hard rock, whatever, appeal to people who aren't necessarily the wokest. So with that roundabout, it was very amusing to me when the lead singer of Judas Priest came out as gay to think of how many like shitty skinhead heavy metal fans
yeah.
had an absolute meltdown identity crisis over that fact.
And then immediately in their head going over the lyrics of all the songs they've been singing along with Rob Halford going, oh, and then realizing, he was closeted, but he wasn't closeted.
I mean, it's not like his videos like wearing studded leather outfits or anything like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are a couple questions in chat. Like there's a couple zappities, but to save them, but Arctic Circle mentioned not being able to believe that the guy got a SAG credit for committing a crime. So assuming he's talking about the guy who threw a beer can at John Malkovich.
He's empty.
Well,
it does make a nice clang, unless that's the Foley artist who made it.
It was scripted to do so. The truck drives past, he throws the beer can at Malkovich. That was all scripted. He just wasn't supposed to say anything.
I think
Are you
he
sure?
Was,
no,
I think...
I think the whole thing was
No, I think he just wasn't supposed to say anything.
I think,
and so he shouted out because he's like, "This is my chance," and they kept it.
I think he was referring to your stint on Cops.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I had a SAG credit already because of my porn career.
Well, we can't put that up. That's demonetize us.
Well, yeah. Well, don't put it on YouTube. Just and then, what season is Guild Ball on?
They're season 4 right now. Season 4 about to adapt their a new card structure for the beginning, so that's coming out soon. I'm hoping they don't switch seasons yet to fifth season because man, they need to.
Hey, Malkovich, think fast.
Oh yeah, that they need to really make sure all their fucking models are out. It seems like that they finally have started coming around to. Getting taken care of their stock issues. Like the major part of stock issues of hey, let's hold a Black Friday sale last year when we have nothing to replace it with. Let's sell off everything we own. Oh, wait, we got new players in our immensely popular game? Oh, they can't buy models? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go upstairs for a second. I'm gonna be back down, and gonna make sure I bring a bucket too.
We're gonna drink out of a bucket?
No. You might want to put your drink in the bucket.
Better get a bucket with the eggs on top. And don't skimp on the pate.
That's my Mr. Creosote impression.
Okay.
The guy who explodes in Monty Python and the Meaning of Life, when he gets everything in the menu all mixed up in a bucket with the eggs on top and don't skimp on the pate.
Mm-hmm. That's the dinner mint.
Well, he doesn't order the dinner mint because he's too full for the dinner mint. Oh. But the wafer thin mint is complimentary and is included and is disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, they spent the entire budget for that movie on the Every Sperm is Sacred scene. They shot that first. It cost the entire budget for the movie, and then they had to go beg for more money. Oh, here comes Andy. I was worried I was going to have to talk some more. Was that the mango Pepsi that you were bemoaning?
I wasn't bemoaning it.
I heard about this on Facebook.
So yeah. I had somebody at work who gave me one of the feisty cherry Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
That is the most horrific thing I have drunk in my life.
I don't think the feisty cherry was all that bad.
The feisty cherry is horrific because
the strawberry guava was terrible.
They're both the same. You want both? Don't shake them. Are you... I got expensive equipment.
It's a joke.
Okay.
Cans are designed so if you let them sit for like 30 seconds, the shaking goes away.
So, okay. I could have
made sure I gave him the one that wasn't shaken.
So, I could have actually saved an extra can by giving just bringing one down and you both can drink from it. But I want to get rid of them as much as I can. So, yeah. That better not spray.
It won't spray. No, because it's a magic trick I learned when I was a kid that you can do that. And you do like roulette, basically, and you shake one of them really vigorously, but then you open one and it doesn't explode, and then the other one you have them open and it explodes, but it doesn't actually explode. You're pushing with your thumb, and that pressure makes it spray over them. The shaking doesn't. It's irrelevant which can you give them because after that much time, it won't explode. I'll still open it down here in case all of this has changed in the last 5 years. And it hasn't. It did not explode. It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, thank God I was right.
Oh, you got wet socks now. There you go. This is the RC10 moment for the Crippled System podcast.
Meh.
Damn it. It's been 3 for 3 of people taking a drink from it and then taking another drink and then pouring it out in the sink.
I have to take the second drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a mango-y kind of thing.
It's got like a coconut flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why I really don't like it.
It's supposed to be like a tropical thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's fine.
Do you want the rest?
I don't because it's not diet.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm looking at the calories per can and I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah,
it's a Snickers bar.
Is it like 300?
No, just 150.
Yeah, 150, but like 41 grams of sugars,
yep.
Which is a lot of sugar.
And that contains 1% juice.
They didn't say what kind of juice it is.
Oh, it's rat juice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, all right.
Is it actually apple juice?
Probably. Most juice is apple juice.
Because like,
it is mango juice concentrate.
Yeah. It just doesn't. I know what Pepsi's trying to do. They're trying to copy the orange Coke because that's somehow, as gross as it sounds like to me, that's a drinkable drink.
Yeah,
which I didn't expect.
Yeah, orange Coke Zero is actually pretty good.
Yeah, because orange Coke Zero with the vanilla.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good. But I know that Pepsi was just trying to do that. Jim's got like a whole bunch of Pepsi Lime, I guess, and that is horrendous.
Pepsi Lime?
Yeah.
Diet Coke with lime has been a thing multiple times. Like, it's come and gone, like, every decade
or
so.
The new Diet Coke with ginger lime is actually pretty good.
The feisty cherry is not. Mm-hmm. Because the feisty is chili oil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's not, like, spicy, like, in a weird, like, you know, Dr. Pepper has that, like, kind of spicy flavor to it kind of way. It's just that that burny sensation in the back of your throat, and it won't go away. So the best review I saw of it was that it tastes like having just thrown up feels. It's that acid burn just in the back of your throat. It's the most repugnant thing.
But yeah, the ginger lime is pretty good. And the blueberry one is pretty good too.
Yeah. Welcome to Crippled System, your fruit-flavored cola review source.
Fruit-flavored diet cola.
I was honestly hoping for a more visceral reaction to it.
I know, that's why I'm fighting it back. It's just to ruin your day.
Oh.
This is actually terrible, but I don't want you to see weakness.
Sure. Just look me straight in the eye as you drink more of it. It was like that prime rib sandwich I was trying to stuff down my throat at the tap house because I paid.
I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah. No, the tap house that's over in Verona, that's right across the street there.
Right.
I got a prime rib sandwich from there, and it tasted was not good. It was not good, but I was hungry, and I didn't.
If you tell them it's not good right away, they usually will replace it.
Yeah, but I'm not that. I don't ruffle feathers like that. I should have, because that it was a sandwich that was actually actively making me gag. Eat it.
Also, I'm going to complain about why is all of a sudden does everybody have to have a Red Bull can?
They want it special.
Yeah, but I mean, Diet Coke already does this, so not only is it.
Well, now there are can koozies that are sized for these cans. I got a.
But now they're. I mean, now they're just
bubble. Buble can koozie when I went on my long distance endurance run that Raylene and I went on. At the end of it, we got a can koozie, and it's sized for these shitty cans.
Oh, you're talking about your beer run, the bar run?
It was not. Yes, it started by a bar, but it went to a concert hall. It was whatever. It was long distance. There's a hydration station halfway and everything. I got a medal for finishing in the top 100% of people.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm saying. I'm an athlete.
That's a statistical result.
Yeah. The distance was measurable in kilometers.
Like most distances. All distances could be measured in kilometers.
Shh. Let people assume that it was more than one. Or just, you know, Americans who don't understand the metric system. You're like, yeah, I ran, 100 decimeters. Or no, did I run 10 decimeters? I ran 10 decimeters.
It's like a...
Wow. 100 decimeters? 10 decimeters. A kilometer would be 100 decimeters.
That's decimeters.
Yeah.
Decimeter
is basically like 3 feet.
Yeah. If a decimeter is 10 centimeters...
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Decameters. Yeah.
I mean, you're saying it's like I ran for a foot.
Well, you know.
No, 3 feet.
Yeah. I did. You're right. It was 10 decameters. So there must be a term for 10 decameters, right? No, I guess not, because it's factors of 10 that get names, not. Well, that would be no. Yes.
I think there is a name for it. It is.
It's probably not.
It is not one that is commonly in use, though, because I mean there is decacenta and milla all have terms for it.
So you go milla, then deca, then just flat out a meter.
No, milla, centa, deca.
Milla, centa, yes, milla, centa, deca, then a meter, then a decameter, then something, then a kilometer. So something's in between there.
Yeah,
I think it's a rod.
I think it's some type of distance.
Furlong. Furlong, yeah.
It can't be a centimeter, but centa, because that's the thing with decameters versus decimeters, you know? You got a tenth and then times 10.
Hecto.
A hectometer.
A hectometer.
I ran a whole hectometer.
Well, that sounds better.
Yeah.
Are you checking your pulse?
No, I'm covering up my injection spots.
Okay.
You know, fair. Us athletes, we have to stay on top of our pulse rates.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And our lethal injections, our illegal injections. I'm an athlete, Andy. I ran a hectometer. An entire hectometer.
So I ran into something weird today. Last night, I turned on the television. They were playing Old School. So it was, what's his name? Owen Wilson's brother.
Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson. And who is the other one? Not Will Ferrell.
Owen Wilson?
No. Who's Luke the other Wilson. Main actor in it? He was also in Dodgeball.
I don't know. I never watched Old School.
He was the main guy in Dodgeball.
Ben Stiller.
Not Ben Stiller. The main good guy in Dodgeball.
Lance Armstrong.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn. Thank you. So I was watching Old School, so it's got Luke Wilson and Vince Vaughn. And
Ben Stiller?
And then when I turned off the television, turned it back on, it was then Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in the same movie. In a different movie. But I mean, it was on the same channel.
Was that Wedding Crashers?
No, it wasn't Wedding Crashers. It was something else.
Because they were in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Starsky and Hutch?
No.
Because that was Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller, which is mm-hmm. the other guy.
Yeah, we're not trying to triangle them.
We can do like there should be a movie marathon where you just keep swapping out one actor, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon style, and see how long you can just keep that up. I was trying to do the other guy from Dodgeball, but I couldn't remember his name. He's the one who does the chicken in Moana.
Yeah, that's he's Steve the Pirate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, is Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk, Tudyk, whatever.
Kodiak. Alan Kodiak.
Yeah. It's also got Rip Torn in there, too.
That is true. But not Rip Taylor.
No. He just recently passed.
Yeah. He did, and he was on Last Week Tonight like a week before that.
Oh, yes, he was,
I think that was his last professional appearance was on Last Week Tonight as himself to be like the new mascot for Israel or something like that.
Something, yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Okay,
I love Rip Taylor. I unironically think he's goddamn hilarious. Like, as a kid watching like Nick at Night and seeing him like on The Match Game and stuff like that, I'm like, this guy's a genius. He throws confetti and makes jokes and runs around. Good times.
I think all the Jackass movies ended with him doing some kind of sequence at the very end.
Yep.
Those Jackass movies were fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Jackass 3.
Not so much, but it did have the bungeed outhouse.
Well, and the bungeed outhouse is when I was sitting in the theater with Keith on one side of me and Jim on the other side of me, and the outhouse is going up and down and feces is spraying all around the inside all over Steve-O, and the guy behind me starts dry heaving and Jim and Keith just lean away from me. It's like, man, I'm glad you're not my Secret Service agents or anything like that. You are just abandoning me to my fate.
I think that I was there for that.
Yeah, I believe you were like two seats down.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, guys.
God, the Preston and Wee Man bungee cord thing. Oh, it's
Jackass
is great. So much golden in that.
I Jackass is great because there's that part inside of all of us that is dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's good to see people letting that part out. And what I like about Jackass is that they do it all to themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like prank shows, like Punk'd or whatever, like even after the fact, like, you know, oh, they'll smile and put on a good face. But, you know, at the time, people are uncomfortable, people are scared, people are annoyed, people are being victimized, and some percentage of them probably aren't actually okay with it afterwards when they're shaking Ashton Kutcher's hand.
Sure.
But yeah. The Jackass people, it's all just, yeah, I'll stand in front of an anti-personnel mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, they're not being tricked into this.
No. They are doing it mainly to
except
themselves.
For Bam's dad.
Sure. But you know what? I guarantee that he had made the calculation about how much of a house Bam bought for him, and it was a business exchange.
Yeah.
Bam's parents, I think, were cool with it.
With a gator in the house.
You know how Jackass got started?
No.
Johnny Knoxville worked for a security company, and he was working on training films. And part of the training films was they were trying to, this was for security guards and such, to impress upon people in training the security ramifications and like the dangerousness of some of the tools they were using. And so he was the guy that volunteered to have stuff used on him. Like he got shot with a 38 special while wearing a bulletproof vest. And one of the things that he got shot with was a taser. And so he put the video together and he showed it to his mother at some point. And his mother said it was really uncomfortable watching him get shot with the pistol. But then she couldn't stop laughing when he got tased.
Sure.
and they went from there.
Seems fair.
I like the Mad TV spinoff with Will Sasso as Kenny Rogers doing all those. This is the bat fetcher trick with my teeth.
Will Sasso is a treasure.
He is. He needs to be in more films. Honestly, there should be another Three Stooges film because he was amazing as Curly in that.
It's a shame they couldn't have him be in a film with Jack Lemmon. That's a Vine reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the one with Matthau? Or... Yeah, no, Will Sasso.
Vine's dead and gone. Now we have TikTok, which is like Vine, but slightly longer and owned by the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do no gay on your TikTok.
Yeah.
No gays allowed on the TikTok.
Hey, we can thank the people at Bethesda for taking all the heat away from Blizzard.
Yeah.
Because Blizzard got into it. It's been a while since we've done a podcast, but Blizzard got into some big trouble about Hong Kong things set over their stream and what they reacted to.
So
it.
Did the NBA, and yeah.
I mean, I love this whole thing with Blizzard that they've been really trying to push esports and trying to make esports a thing, and then as soon as they have the opportunity to sell out to China, the first thing they do is they rescind somebody's prize money.
So it's like, and ban them for a year.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, the banning is one thing. The retroactively taking someone's winnings, though, is just like, okay, yeah, none of this actually matters.
And doing so using a rule that says we can do this whenever we want to for no reason, which means why should anybody feel any security that any winning they'll get won't just be taken
away? And then like a week and a half later, a U.S. team does the exact same thing, and they get nothing happening from it. They ended up did go back and say he can have his winnings for Blitzchung.
The U.S. team eventually did get punished.
Yes, but that was after they pointed out to him.
Yeah, they were like, we should be punished. Yeah. And then they got punished and they tweeted, thank goodness they finally punished us.
Yeah, because it was a while after that. But man.
Bethesda.
Bethesda's Fallout. Have you heard about the Fallout 76
new
issues?
You know that upgrade that we promised you this year that was going to give you all of the stuff that we said that we would give you because it's all the stuff that you wanted that wasn't in the game?
That's $100 for a year.
No. That was all delayed to next year.
Yeah.
You get none of that.
You get no NPCs until next year.
Instead, you can give us $100 a month for shit you don't want or need.
No.
And some of this shit that is $100 a year, rather, is stuff we claimed was literally impossible to give to you, and now we're proving that we lied about that because somehow we're now able to give it to you, but only if you pay.
Yeah, and it's not what you get, not what you paid for either. Yeah. So, like, the private servers, there are people logging into their private servers and finding shit already looted.
Well, even ignoring that, the fact that the private servers, when in the pitch for it, it says you can invite up to 7 of your friends to your private server. You can't invite anybody. There is no invitation. It's just you make your private server, you sit there twiddling your thumbs, and the next 7 people who decide to join your server and you have no way of saying no to them, just join your server.
Yep.
If you see someone on your friends list, you just go join, and you join them.
Yep. On top of that, they have... what they said was what Nathan pointed out. It was something that was impossible. They couldn't have unlimited storage.
It's impossible to have unlimited storage.
The servers
cannot handle it.
So they put a new box into your private server, and people started putting shit into there after they bought the subscription, and their box just ate items. Just all the shit that was in their boxes just disappeared.
I am just really confused at how bad the programming staff for
I don't think it's really that bad. I think it's
How do you release a game in the year of our Lord 2018 that breaks on New Year's Day because you forgot to program a 4-year date into the thing? How after the 9/11 scare does any programmer not use
9/11?
Not a 9/11. The Y2K. Wow, sorry. How after the Y2K scare?
Planes into your Bethesda?
Yeah. How after the Y2K scare does any programmer ever make anything where the year section is 2 digits and then release it 2 months before New Year's?
Yeah. Yeah.
How the fuck do you do that?
The people that are trying to make an MMO style game out of a single player game that they released a year ago or 3 years ago, because that's all Fallout 76 is, just the reskin Fallout 4.
Yes. Still, like, yeah. Whatever time crunch you're on, when you program a date in your game, day day, month month, year 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 year, yeah. Like. It should be so ingrained in you as a programmer to use 4 digits for the year.
Maybe. Well, no, because maybe they actually have a programmer that's been doing it for, you know, 30-some years.
I mean, actually, you don't even do that. If you're saving the separate values, you're doing something horribly wrong.
Sure.
You store it as, I mean, you store it as whatever language you're using in their native date time.
Sure.
Value, which is typically under the, I mean, behind the scenes stored as a single integer or floating point value. But yeah, I mean, this is that you can fail on that is multiple levels of pathology deep.
Because it's not all just the marketing and the corporate stuff. Even the programming is just raw boned. And correct. You can blame them being shoved out the door too soon, but stuff like that is so baseline.
It's amazing that nobody on their staff even tested out their features when they're rolling out this year-long subscription thing.
But thank goodness that this didn't happen 2 days before a massive Fallout-style game came out. That would be really bad for Bethesda if, like, their biggest possible competition ever came out, like, 2 days after they shot themselves in their foot again.
It doesn't make sense, though, either, because what they're doing is they're absolutely preying on the people who are actually... The people who bought that subscription are people who generally like that game, who want to play that game.
The mentally ill.
Maybe. I'm not calling them that, but I mean, they're people who are finding fun in that sandbox.
Listen, your reward for loyally sticking by Fallout first. You deserve it. That's their slogan. You deserve it.
Have you seen the Fallout First website?
I sure have seen the Fallout First website. Did you hear about that part of it?
No.
So this is called Fallout First.
Mm-hmm.
Bethesda didn't bother to get falloutfirst.com because Bethesda is incompetent at literally everything. So somebody else got falloutfirst.com, and they basically took the Fallout First press release and just edited it slightly. So it's Fallout Fuck You First, and it's all the descriptions are just like, we're reaming you straight up the ass with all this shit that blah, blah, blah. It's glorious. It is the most wonderful webpage. But... You deserve it, says Fallout First. But
yeah.
So these people stuck with this shit game.
Yep. For the past year.
Defended it.
Yep.
And so some guy plays the game for 900 hours. They ban him. These people stick by him and pay them a $100 fee for the privilege of having this shit that should have been the game from day one. They get fucked over raw. Like, yep.
Yeah, it's, I mean... Play what you want to play. I'm not gonna say you're playing something wrong, but I mean, if you are having fun with Fallout 76, more power to you. That's how you want to spend your time.
Fine, right? Like, I understand enjoying a multiplayer Fallout game. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. It's just, but this one, like, holy shit. Yeah. But I guess because there is no other game like it.
Yeah, it's called Anthem.
Anthem.
In the terms of shit.
Yeah, it's as shitty. But like, there isn't another game that is like a multiplayer Fallout. You know, there's some like survival style games like your DayZ or Rust or whatever where you can like build your base and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess there's kind of similar stuff, but this is all you have if you want multiplayer Fallout. If you want, you know, that time period, the pulp sci-fi with the robots and the laser guns and the whatever. And so some people just desperately are sticking with it because of that. and they're just getting punished time and time and time again.
Yeah, just ungloriously punished. They're just it's so sad.
But yeah, I have
not for me because Schadenfreude's great.
What were you saying, David?
Yeah, I have just been disappointed lately at the quality of programming in games because, I mean, the engines they're built off on are programmed quite well, but, I mean, Borderlands 3, there were a number of cases when I was playing through it, it became obvious to me where the programmers screw up.
Sure.
And, I mean, I say this as somebody that's been in the industry for 25 years and can recognize a common programming mistake. But, I mean, it always amazed me with Borderlands 3 that game doesn't crash all the time because the game itself is not programmed terribly well, but the underlying engine is great. And Fallout 76 with the way you're describing stuff, it's like, yeah, this is shitty programming on top of a well-written engine that keeps the thing together.
Well, except as far as well-written engine, like Bethesda's been using the same engine since like Oblivion.
Yeah.
And it is old.
Yeah.
It is super old. It is held together with duct tape and good wishes.
Yeah.
And so to try to push that thing to also run a multiplayer online game was just asking way too goddamn much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Do you hear about WWE 2K20? Oh,
I saw many videos of WWE 2K20. I saw some horrific characters that people created. Because the character creation bugged out to the point where they were like flipping through heads, and then the person's head was like 2 feet above their head.
Sure.
And so like the necks and stuff were just empty, but then they switched to like a luchador mask, and the mask was up there, but the eyes and the mouth were in the normal spot, but just the eyes and mouth, so there were just teeth and unlidded eyes floating above the neck hole with a luchador mask a foot above that face, and so then they rolled with it and gave like hair to the top, and so it's just this weird thing, and then they played in big head mode, and it was wonderful. And then all the other, like, you could just walk around in midair, like, they went to body slam somebody like on top of the cell, and their character moves back a foot in doing so, and then just walks around 30 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I saw one where there was a wrestler that was in the ring. He was sunk down into the floor. And he was just spinning around in the ring itself. Yeah, that game. I mean, like, even Sony is actually giving refunds on that game now too.
I was watching something saying that it might be that bad on purpose.
That they went out of the license.
They went out of the license. Like, they're just like, fuck it. We're done. We technically made the game. We had to make a game. We gave you a game. We're legally covered. Let us go.
But it must be, I mean, that could be true. They've been slowly, basically, whoever the
they said
the
it was
company,
kind of like the Roger Corman Fantastic Four thing, where we technically made the movie.
Yeah, but the Fantastic Four, that's a glorious movie.
It is the best Fantastic Four movie.
It is.
Yeah, yes. It's unironically the best Fantastic Four movie.
I really wanted to. I want to see an uncut version of a director's cut version of the newest Fantastic Four, the horror film, the space horror film.
Sure.
Because that would have been interesting to see. But yeah, the 2K20, holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, the other issue, though, too, is the original makers of that game left, and they left some kind of in-studio place for 2K just to deal with their code.
Well, I just don't understand any... I don't get the annual franchise games. I really freaking don't. Like, there's no game that you need to have once a year, every year, like clockwork. They're not going to be programmed because it takes longer than that to make a good game, mm-hmm. right? And for some reason, the core engine isn't polished up to the point where they can just slap in new characters. And if it is, it should just... In today's technology, you don't need NBA 2K20 and 2K21 and 2K22. What you need is just NBA...
Correct.
And then every year it can update the roster.
Yeah, heck, you could make it.
Then you're talking about a subscription for NBA 2K series,
sure.
Which is effectively what it is now.
Correct. Except what it is now, instead of being those people are forced to buy a new $60 game every year.
Yeah.
I think those people would rather, the people who are that hardcore about it, would probably rather pay $10 a month for, like, you pay for an MMO.
Yeah.
So it'll be more money for the developers, and they won't have to print new fucking games every year.
I mean, realistically,
it's probably easier to program. Mm-hmm. It's better for everyone involved if you just treat it like an MMO.
Yeah, the problem is there are humans involved there, and humans hate subscription-based games, and that they will pay more. They will pay more to avoid having a subscription-based
game. Then do it as DLC. Annual DLC. $60, here's all the new roster.
Yeah, but I mean, $60 for the new roster is basically the same thing.
Correct.
Yeah, that's basically what they're paying for now. Yeah. Most of the time, they're just building it off of the previous system.
Yeah.
And then they add in some random feature into the game to justify it.
Yeah,
like Madden doesn't need to be updated all the time either.
But I mean, basically, it's just when you have the excuse to put out a new SKU every year, you are essentially paying a subscription for the game.
Like, the last time I looked at a Madden game was the year that they introduced the ability to control your quarterback's eyes.
Like, you can change your vision to go to a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To try to, like, fake out the defender by looking to your left. And it's like, fuck off. Just give me Tecmo Bowl. I don't need this shit.
The remake of Tecmo Bowl is fucking awesome. I still have that on my 360.
Is Bo Jackson still able to literally run circles around everybody?
I'm not sure. I think they updated the roster, so I don't think Bo was in it.
Bullshit. I'm out.
And that was just normal Tecmo Bowl.
Nope,
I don't think Bo was in Super Tecmo Bowl.
How dare he? That's probably after his injury.
That's when Bo was not in everything. He was not a race car driver.
He could have been.
That commercial showed him in it as a race car driver.
Well, or just a very violently, flagrantly cheaty football player.
What? What was in a cheaty?
Well, the Tecmo Bowl commercial where he drives like a Honda Civic across the...
That's completely legal.
Oh, okay.
It's part of his uniform.
Ain't no rule says a Honda Civic can't play football.
Exactly.
They're air butting it up in here, Dave.
We should go to... Are we going to Zappity Grumbles? Packer game started already.
Oh, no, Zappity.
Crumble.
Have you guys watched Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix? And if so, what are your thoughts? This is one of a couple from chat.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. About a third of them are really, really good. A third of them are really, really bad. And a third of them are okay. Like, as with any anthology series, it's a very up and down mixture of quality. So as the only person here who's watched it, yes. Some good, some bad.
I've heard good things about it. I just haven't watched it.
The first one in it, why am I blinking on the character's edge? Sunny. It's called Sunny's Edge. Is my favorite of them, actually. And I think the second one's the one I hate most. But it's up and down, and they're kind of fast enough that I think overall, all told, it's worth watching all of them. And enough people have disagreed with me on which third are the good and which third are the bad and which third are the middle that I don't think you can just take a survey and find out which ones to watch, because there's that difference of opinion there. Like, I could happily break them down and tell people which ones I think are skippable, but you might have worse taste than me and enjoy the wrong ones, and so you'd have to watch that for yourself. But if you watch the whole series, it's like a one-day thing. So
it's a quick binge.
Yeah, it's a quick binge. So just some Saturday, watch all of them and go, oh, that one was terrible and that one was good. Gornis says the order they're shown is different for everyone. That would surprise me. I thought they were, If that's possible, it's possible. Either way, Sunny's Edge was my favorite.
Zappity
Grumble.
Were you trying to pass time so I could find the Zappity Grumble?
Maybe. There was a second one in chat up towards the top. So if you haven't found them, that's still there. Oh, there it goes. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Is a Nintendo Switch worth the purchase?
Yes.
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 What games outside of Pokemon Sword and Shield should I buy with it for my 4-year-old to play?
Four-year-old.
Well, I mean, a 4-year-old's going to enjoy Metal Goose Solid, I think. That's a simple and fun enough game. Mm-hmm. You know, just run around.
Can you teach him that values, though, right away?
It'll teach him the geese are jerks.
Did you see the meme of the death comes for,
yeah.
for the goose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had seen that. It's a good one.
Time to go.
And I posted
Have you been a good goose?
No.
No.
And then he just steals
a sickle.
It's a sign. My
half-way yeah. with the pupper I liked.
Yeah, my six-year-old loves Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I mean, basically, pretty much most of Nintendo's first products, their homegrown products, are all good for kids.
Dark Souls?
That's not a Nintendo.
It's on the Switch.
It is on the Switch, yes.
Witcher 3.
Witcher 3 is on the Switch as well. Probably not for a four-year-old.
I mean, it teaches some good values.
Mm-hmm. It teaches what you can do to an amazing-looking game, make it look mediocre, and still have the same good gameplay.
I like what Jim Sterling said, where this is the absolute worst version of The Witcher 3, which is still The Witcher 3, so it's still a good game.
I mean, it doesn't look as pretty as the rest, but I think it's a feat in general that they put that thing on the Switch.
Yeah. There's a Scribblenauts game on the Switch, and normally I think Scribblenauts games are really, really good for kids, but the one on the Switch is actually kind of garbage. So if you already have Scribblenauts on, like, a tablet, just stick with that. If you don't have Scribblenauts on a tablet, get Scribblenauts so your kid can play it.
Also, you can't have that monkey fly the helicopter.
You cannot have a monkey fly a helicopter. You can have a gorilla fly a helicopter.
Yeah, but
we verify that. And
it's infuriating.
Lewis was at my board game day, and we were talking about that. And he was, yeah, it enraged his daughter when we had a gorilla flying a helicopter. She's like, that's not right. Because the task, it was like a classroom. And we were supposed to, like, you know, teach the kids. And I'm like, well, kids can learn about helicopters. And I just made a helicopter, and we were just having a gorilla fly it around. She was so mad. Some kids just have a thing about, you know, this is how it's supposed to be.
See, for for kids friendly Switch games, my 8-year-old loves Dragon Quest Builders too.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Does my wife does as well, but that's also another game for kids. Maybe a much for a 4-year-old, but my kids
Minecraft.
Like it.
Minecraft as well is also pretty, there's non-offensive things in that.
Yeah. And I mean, the classic, you could, I'm trying to think if there's any reason that something like Mario Maker wouldn't be okay.
No.
You know, because if they play on easy mode.
Some of the downloaded maps might have, well, if it's 4-year-old, probably can't read the messages though. So that's
yeah, like that was my, the reason I paused if somebody just like wrote fuck in the clouds. But one, I think those get reported and deleted.
Yeah.
Two, if your kid can read.
Also, if your kid is going through the other player's maps in Mario Maker, then that kid should be on GDQ.
Well, I mean, things like there's that. Easy mode.
Yeah, that's true, but oh my God. Some of those maps are...
Some of them are horrific.
Yeah. I can't do any of... What's those type of boards called?
Kaizo
boards? I can't. I
no, yeah, absolutely.
Don't know. Well, I played Meat Boy all the way through, so maybe I could.
Yeah. I mean, it's Dark Souls style, right? You just have to... There's a bullshit exact jump. You just have to die 100 times until you memorize that one jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you die 100 times to the next jump. And eventually... Like, I've seen these people who are streamers that all they do is play these Kaizo maps. And they make them for each other and trade them back and forth. And one I watched that was goddamn hilarious, where he just had like a montage of everybody failing, getting angry at his game. And then one of the people, when they finally beat it, he had his running tally in the corner, and it took him 17 hours to beat the game, or to beat that one level. 17 hours to play through a level that, if you play through it in one go, is like a minute and a half long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just keeping at it, right?
Yep.
Teach that to your 4-year-old. Get your kid Kaizoing right now. Get him on the front curve of speedrunning, because that's going to be the next big sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you'll
all,
retire
it's also,
off your kid's speedrunning money.
Also, you'd be able to teach your kid persistence. Mm-hmm. Wow, you drank the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Three Robots is a good one, too. Yeah.
I don't know. For the
Three Robots is another one of the... I think everybody likes Three Robots. I really, really like Three Robots until the last, like, 30 seconds, and I think people are kind of torn on that. It's kind of like the 10 Cloverfield Lane, where some people, the ending is so out of left field that it kind of pulls down the whole story.
Yeah.
I did not like the ending of Three Robots, but it didn't ruin the rest of Three Robots for me because I thought it was a very, very strong... that's one of the Love, Death, and Robots one thing. It didn't pull it down, but I think it would have been stronger without it. Some people really hate the ending of Three Robots. Some people love the ending of Three Robots. It's kind of like a microcosm of the series as a whole.
Wow.
The one I really didn't like is the one where it's just a scared naked lady running around for 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like somebody wanted to jerk off, so they made this thing with a scared naked lady running around. I'm like, this is has no value. Sorry.
We already zappied that.
Yeah, we grumbled it too.
Yep.
I was just, chat had advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, Witness is the name of that one. I hated Witness. And I like naked women. So it takes a lot to make me hate your thing if that's all it is.
Yep.
Zappity again.
Is there so David Mullen asks, is there a generic brand of food drink that you prefer over the name brand?
Well, what is generic anymore?
Generic is the, like, well, technically most generics are name brands now.
Yeah.
Like a store name brand would be what I would consider.
Kroger Private Selection ice cream, which is the, I mean, it may seem like it's a, seem like it's not a store brand because Kroger owns everything now.
Yeah,
but it's the but because I mean it's Metro Market, Pick and Save, Cops, and I think one of the others around, one of the other grocery stores around here is also owned by Kroger, but their house brand ice cream is amazing.
I
specifically the Private Selection stuff.
Mm-hmm. I watched a. I forget the name. Oh, it was Good Mythical Morning is some YouTube channel that does dumb shit that occasionally comes up on my recommendation. And I watched a couple videos of theirs where they were blind taste testing like Doritos and four house brand Doritos style things. And then they did Fritos and they went through like six or seven different chips. And the Kroger brand was oft times one of their favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other was from... Dollar General, whatever their brand is, not Dollar Tree. So this is one of those fake dollar stores that charges $3 for their dollar products. Fuck you. But anyway, that was their favorite, like above the name brand, like three out of like the eight things they tried.
Sure.
Like, their Fritos were the best. Their potato chips were the best. So apparently that's a good one to go for.
No, but yeah,
and, the Kroger, yeah, they general, backed you the Kroger, up on the Kroger.
Yeah, the Kroger house brands are in general are good, and in most cases I'll just take them over the name brand products because they're cheaper and quite often better.
Yeah, I'm cool with generic stuff in general. The only thing I found markedly terrible when I buy it generic is mac and cheese. For some reason, mac and cheese, generic mac and cheese is always absolute shit.
Oh,
yeah, I agree.
I actively avoid generic soda.
I'll pick up some generic soda once in a while, usually when I feel a little tight in the wallet.
The thing is, like, generic soda will, like, always be X dollars for a case.
Yeah.
But if you look at Pepsi or Coke products, if you don't have a strong preference between them, usually one or the other is on sale for cheaper than the generic. Like, it'll be like, this week Coke is $10, and then the next week Pepsi's $3 for $9, or and the whole time the generic's just sitting there like, I'm more expensive if you have a preference.
I'm $2.50.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're $2.50, but Coke was $4 for $10, and that's the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for me, for my generic over the others, is I like the Market Pantry popsicles. You can get them at Target and that.
Architecture's good stuff in general. They had the mango pineapple salsa is really good.
Yeah, the Kroger salsa is really good too.
Yeah, it may be made in the same place, but Market Pantry at Target, I've been happy with whenever I've bought some of their stuff. Yeah. Zappity?
Yeah, well.
Who are your strange bedfellows?
What?
Who are your strange bedfellows?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Grumble.
I don't currently have any strange bedfellows.
I don't know.
I mean, I understand the concept of a strange bedfellow.
What is a strange bedfellow?
Like somebody you wouldn't normally expect to like be allied.
An ally of convenience.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, these two people that, you know, it's like when Thor and Loki team up to fight Thanos. And it's like, well, you know, they're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. Although by that point, Loki had kind of redeemed himself already. So maybe a bad example, but that's a general concept.
Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe we are. the rest of the cast?
I guess within that same movie, the better example is that Strange and Iron Man didn't really like each other at that point, but they were working together for a greater good.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I ain't got no strange bedfellows. Because anyone that I wouldn't want to be allied with, I've already ostracized with every fiber of my being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the, I guess another example is Ted Cruz and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez co-sponsored a bill.
Yeah.
Maybe it meant maybe for our games, maybe. What game do you play that you wouldn't expect you to play?
Oh, maybe they meant Zappity.
Grumble,
okay. we tried.
Grumble.
What do would you look for in a D&D stream? Personally, for me, it would be well thought out characters with a good DM who's able to tell a story. Because that's the only reason why Critical Role really works, mm-hmm. is because they are generally in character. They have professional actors, and they generally have a chemistry that's built between mm-hmm. the whole team. Like, you can't just go to anybody's D&D table and just stream it, because right. I mean it'll be
unwatchable.
Yeah. You gotta have the people that they'll mix and match and work well with each other.
Pacing is important. You know, as yes. well, like not just the going with the character, but like an actual home game of D&D. For every half hour of playing D&D, you're going to have an hour of just talking about the weather in the last movie you watched. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so a stream's either going to need editing, or if it's live, it's going to need a professional crew that keeps things moving at a decent click.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about maybe doing our possible random Thursdays. You're part of that. Yeah, so you're part of that.
Current plan, Kenku Monk.
Yeah. I mean, that could possibly work a stream potentially, but it would be something that where we would want to have, we wouldn't want to stream the first adventure. We would go through until we actually have our characters in mind and have our mindset and see how it goes from there. But yeah, I think it what really works is that it's chemistry and is just in. Enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And part of that also comes like you need to not be like Munchkin Power Gamers, because the story's going to be part of it. Like, I'm not going to watch just to see somebody beat Dungeons and Dragons
correct
by finding some broken combo. You know, like I've heard stuff like in I think in Critical Role at some point, I mean, possible spoilers, maybe this was last season, I don't know, whatever, but like I heard that there's a point where like they're warlock, which warlocks get their powers, like all of their character powers, from like a pact that they have with a stronger being.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had a thing where that person chose to break that pact, so they lost like all their warlock powers. No player who's trying to make a strong character would do that.
Correct.
But for the story, that's interesting, and that gets you invested, and you're like, oh, there's things they can do with us now. I am invested in this storyline, which is smart for them as well, because now you're hooked on the characters, just like watching a show week in and week out, as opposed to, oh, let's see how Timmy can do an interesting thought experiment where he makes Fireball twice as strong.
Or
good for you.
Like, or I'm going to spend a half hour getting my rogue around so I can get that double backstab bonus.
Like, if you're going to do thought exercises for how to do the most damage in one round, that's fine. You can base a podcast on that. Like, yeah. I would happily listen to a podcast where every week they just pick one spell or one skill and figure out how to break it the fuck open.
Oh, so God. Did you ever watch the old the Wizards of the Coast character optimization boards? Because they were hilarious.
There's a YouTube channel that's animated spellbook that's really good, where a guy, like, he hand animates like a wizard talking about a spell each episode and like things you can do with them, and they're really cute and fun. But like, I was listening to one the other day that apparently this is old hat, but this was fascinating to me, was if you have a level 20 wizard,
mm-hmm.
so there is a level 7 spell, which is simulacrum, depending on how you pronounce it, where you make a copy of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a full copy. The only restriction is they can't regain spell slots.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make a copy of yourself, so now you have a second you. as a level 20 wizard, they have access to level 9 spells, and they've copied your list, and they have your level 9 spell slot that they copied from you, and one of the level 9 spells is Wish. And one of the things Wish can do is cast any spell mm-hmm. without the need for the material components. So they use their level 9 slot to cast Simulacrum and copy you. And then that new one uses their level 9 spell slot to cast Wish, to cast Simulacrum, to copy you. And then they just do that until you have infinite copies of you that all have all of their spells except for 1-7 and 1-9 that they've used up, and then they conquer the universe.
What about the fourth one? Does he like pizza?
He does like pizza. Do you like pizza?
I like pizza, Steve.
Yeah, she touched his peppy, Steve. But just like, yeah, all right, cool. So once you're a level 20 wizard, you just make infinite of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
My favorite
that's
thing.
Interesting, right? Yeah. But I wouldn't want, that wouldn't be a fun story to watch.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the difference between a stream adventure versus a mental exercise podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love those mental exercises. Like my all-time favorite one on the character optimization was people looked at it and said, okay, and it said this was in 3.5, and in the Fighter's Handbook there was the class Hulking Hurler. Which was a terrible prestige class, and it basically the whole thing was set up that you could pick up heavy things and throw them, and there were rules for throwing heavy things.
Sure.
And somebody started up a post and said, "Okay, let's see if we can optimize and make this useful." And they found some tricks for it because, as it turns out, the way the Hulking Hurler is built is you can throw something up to a medium weight, which is like half of your weight capacity. And there's this danger lurking beneath the surface because the only thing that is actually exponential in D&D 3rd edition is carrying capacity.
Yeah. Well, I saw a 5th edition character build that kind of went to the same thing where they took... There's a character race that has like double carry capacity,
yeah.
And then there's like one of the classes. I think it's like one of the barbarian classes, like can become like of the bear, and it doubles your weight. And there's another feat that doubles your weight, so you get to the point where this character can literally lift a ton.
Yeah. Oh, on the Hulking Hurler build, it's like two pages in. They were calculating the size of the shot put. They could like two
just
pages
throws
in.
Throws the moon. You throw. It's like a DBZ episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, they started out with a shot put larger than the character itself. Yeah. And then they got to a castle and then to the moon, and then like 30 pages in, somebody had it out and all of the math and then all of the physics, and they literally built a character that could lift the observable universe.
Yeah, seems fair.
Zappity.
The rest of the party wouldn't have to walk, right? This guy can just carry him. Like, it's like Baba Yaga's Chicken Hut. You can have this whole thing just on the back of this guy who just walks to the next adventure.
It's like One Punch Man.
Yeah.
No, but... But I feel it has to be, and you can't really, you have to do stuff creative in your adventures as well. Like I remember, nobody likes to hear other people's D&D stories.
I like to hear about this D&D story.
But we had a DM that purposely made a Monty Hall campaign,
mm-hmm.
and Brian and I, we decided we didn't want to do a Monty Hall campaign, and so we just used our character's abilities in different ways that changed how he had to handle us, which was great. Like, we were taking on two fire giants, and they're up on a cliff. They're throwing shit down at us. I had my character who could turn invisible. I went up there, cast oil slick, and then somebody used some kind of air thing, pushed one of the giants off. Another character caught him in a web. Then we convinced him that his friend up there had pushed him off the cliff to get more power, and so then we had a fire giant on our side.
I thought you were going to tell the story about when you were heading into town, and in the woods outside of town, a bunch of bandits accosted you.
Yeah, bandits accosted us, and so we took care of those bandits, and we brought them into town, and it turns out those were the guards.
Listen, you were in the forest, and a bunch of people jumped out of the trees and said, "Throw down your weapons." Yeah. I think it's a safe assumption that you were being robbed. Murdering all of them seemed like the right thing to do. And then taking their corpses into town and saying, "You're welcome."
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. We took care of those bandits that surrounded your town.
I mean, it seemed like the right thing to do to me.
Yeah, no, honestly, I know everyone says it. If you wrote a book about my D&D adventures, it would be a good book. And
I mean, there was an extremely popular series of books that were based on a guy's D&D adventures. Like, the whole Dragonlance series was just based on a guy's D&D adventures.
Yeah, because that's all Greyhawk. Or no, Dragonhawk. I'm mixing up my world. Sorry.
Cool Tor.
Cool story, Bo.
Dappity. Yeah,
Grumpoth. Oh, I don't have my... Damn it.
This whole time...
I was excited and talking about my D&D's. Honk.
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 Zavity.
Okay.
I know that in two separate groups now, I'm no longer allowed to play an arcane caster.
It's fair. Is that it? Is that all of them?
That was all of them. There might be something on Twitter. I can look on Twitter.
Okay, I'll do the first of my two recommendations while you're looking on Twitter.
Oh, my God. You have so many fucking recommendations.
I'm done.
Okay, I will recommend something. And I am going to, and keeping in the theme of Nathan having too many recommendations, I'm going to recommend something Nathan has recommended in the past.
Hooray!
So Nathan's getting three recommendations off.
Yeah. I just happened to pull up Steam on Thursday and noticed that Bloodstained was on sale. And so I
recommended this.
And so I bought Bloodstained, and like a couple of hours ago, I realized that I needed to show up for the podcast.
Curse of the Moon or Ritual of the Night?
Ritual of the Night.
Yeah, sure.
A couple of hours ago, I realized that I needed to show up for the podcast, and I hadn't eaten in 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like Metroidvania games, that game is amazing. Also, if you like NES-style graphics done in a proper way, Curse of the Moon is also really fucking good, too, for Bloodstained.
Hey, speaking of games created by the people who invented a franchise that are no longer involved with the franchise, and the franchise has been driven into the ground by the current owners, so the people who invented the franchise had to salvage that franchise in a thinly disguised recreation of the franchise under a different name.
Mm-hmm.
The Outer Worlds is fucking amazing, and you should buy The Outer Worlds from the original creators of Fallout and the designers of Fallout New Vegas. Outer Worlds is baller as hell.
Fallout 1 and 2 and New Vegas.
They made 1 and 2 and New Vegas. They invented Fallout in the first place, and it was taken away from them by the Bethesda. So it's very similar to the Symphony of the Night thing, but god
didn't they
damn, Outer Worlds is good.
Wasn't bought from them?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't taken.
Well, it was taken in exchange for money. I don't know. The point is, I wrote a script for Hollywood. Turns out that idea was taken too. But yeah, Outer Worlds, goddamn amazing. Fuck, it's good.
Where are you playing it on? Is it PC?
I bought it on PS4.
Okay.
I have two complaints about it, and they're both fairly minor, and one of them I've heard they're already working on. Complaint one is the text. I'm an old man.
Oh, it's super tiny?
It's super tiny.
Sure.
It's super duper tiny. Now, it's super tiny everywhere as far as all the dialogue options, the subtitles. Like, I have to lean forward and squint because I'm an old man. The only place where it isn't tiny is, like, weapons. When you pull up, like, a weapon thing, the damage will be giant number in the corner. And then all the other descriptors, like mods the value and weight is all tiny text that you can't read from your couch. Same with armor. But the text is tiny, and the loading times are a little long, which is especially annoying. It wouldn't be too bad, except very frequently, you'll be in a building, and you want to go into a different building, mm-hmm. right? So you will, and it's across the map, right? Like, you went and you did a quest, and I finished the quest, now I need to go back and report my quest.
Sure.
So you will leave the building you're in, there'll be a minute loading, then you will fast travel to the other town, there will be a minute loading, and then you will enter the building where the person you need to turn the quest into is, and there'll be a minute loading.
Sure.
So there'll be like 3 minutes of loading in a row, and you're like, you fuckers. Like, if I could just tell you where I wanted to be, you could have eliminated two of these.
See, that's one of the reasons, though, that I like playing on PC, is that there's a whole lot less loading. Like, I was watching a Bloodstained video of somebody playing on the Switch.
Sure.
And I was getting annoyed with the load times on the dude's video.
Yeah, I mean, this partially might be the PlayStation versus the PC. But again, that's very minor. I have my phone to entertain myself during those 30 seconds. But it's, if you liked New Vegas, you will 100% like this game, because it's just New Vegas again.
Well, I think it's honestly, Fallout 4 wasn't that bad, but no. But I mean, it's not New Vegas. It's not Fallout 3.
So, I mean, all of the Fallout games are 90% the same as each other,
yeah.
Right? It's that 10% difference, and the 10% difference in New Vegas versus the other ones are stuff that's carried over. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in Fallout 3 and 4, if you're trying to do, like, a speech check with somebody, you'd have a percentage pass-fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In New Vegas, it would just be like, this will pass if your persuasion is at 35 or higher. It will fail if your persuasion's at 34. There is no dice roll. This is a threshold. And that's how Outer Worlds treats it as well.
Okay.
And so it'll just be like, this costs this. Do you have that number? Success. Or you can't even try it.
I think I
the companion mechanics are really good.
I think I would really like it, but the problem is, though, is I like exploring all branches. So, like, giving me dialogue choices hurts me because I want to go, like, oh, what if I don't like this person here? I don't want to go with this faction. And
replay.
That was the problem I had with Fallout 4. Is there's when I felt at the point of the game where they started railroading me into. Like one choosing factions in that, it was like that's where it kind of started losing me.
I've been able to be fairly neutral. There's been a lot of quests that force you to choose between two options, mm-hmm. but I've been able to mitigate where like both parties are still relatively happy with me.
Okay,
like you know, they're one will be begrudging, like you know, I wish you'd gone with me, but you've done so much for me, I don't hate you. So it's not like a full alliance thing, kind of like they did with Fallout 4. And as far as like exploring all the dialogue branches, what I found with this one is like. Normally, I do every single dialogue tree all the way to the dead end because I need to have every line of dialogue with every character I ever run into. This one, like, I am leaving half of the conversation options unchosen just because they didn't, like, the conversations feel so real that, like, this conversation is at its end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've gotten what I need out of this person. Or there will be, like, three or four choices as far as, like, attitude. And so instead of just being, like, the branching tree where, like, you choose one and then that's done either way, like... It'll like, I feel like this person doesn't like me prying into their past, so I won't ask any more questions about their past.
Okay.
And part of it's just the verisimilitude of the environment and you know, feeling the role. And part of it is I'm not 100% sure how much of that's being tracked and if I'm actually pissing these people off if I pry too much. And so this is the first RPG where I found, like, a whole bunch of times where you just, like, unselected conversation choices, and I'm like, no, I think I'm done talking to this person, and I'm going to end the conversation now.
Hmm.
Which is kind of neat.
I'll say the trailer for it is probably one of my favorite reveal trailers that they've ever done. It made it feel so much like a... Does it feel kind of Borderlands-y, or is it really just more Fallout-y?
It's very Fallout-y.
Okay.
It's very Fallout-y. The Borderlands only came in as much of the fact as like the graphics look very colorful and stuff.
It had humor to it.
It is way more capitalist humor than I expected from the trailers. Sure. Like I knew that corporations were part of it, but this thing is just pure just lambasting of capitalism. It is hilarious. Okay. Like an early quest is the fact that people have to pay rent on their graves.
Okay.
And like one of the people whose graves needs to be paid for, he committed suicide. So the town has to pay for his grave because technically suicide is destruction of company property. And so he committed vandalism against company property by killing himself. And so the town is responsible for the damage of company property that he committed, which is his lifetime salary. So and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That's capitalism, right?
Sure.
You are company property. Suicide is vandalism. It's very like Douglas Adams-y. The point is it's good, and Bloodstained's good, and play these games, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of them you can get on the Switch.
I think
Outer Realms is.
I thought I saw him someplace it was going to be, but I don't think it currently is. But maybe it's going to be later. I'm not sure. But they're both good games. Did you get your Twitter up?
Yeah, it's just somebody who's just said Fallout 76.
Okay. Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah, man.
The fact that they didn't get the goddamn website. Holy balls.
That's, but I mean, the thing is though, okay, can you imagine if this actually went off without a hitch? We wouldn't be talking about it. We actually might be slightly praising it if it went off without a hitch. Give an option like that, because they're getting like $20 worth of stuff that they could pay in the store for a month.
Okay, but here's the thing about that. So, sure, if you were going to buy 1,650 atoms a month, you might as well do the subscription because they give you those atoms. So if you just do the math of the value of what you get, but here's the insidiousness of that shit. They give you 1,650 atoms as part of your subscription. A skin costs 1,800 atoms, which means you're just short enough that you need 150 more atoms. So on top of your $13 a month subscription, you're going to throw those extra $5 at them to get the extra atoms so that you can buy the color blue.
Yeah. No, I, yeah.
Like, you know they picked 1650 on purpose because it was just barely not enough.
Yeah.
Shitheads.
Go play the Outer Worlds. It's a better game. I just haven't gotten it yet because I'm playing the older world.
I'm frankly angry I'm not playing it right now.
So my recommendation is going to be a little 8-episode series that's on Netflix right now. It stars everybody's favorite person, Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
Everyone loves Paul Rudd.
He was Weird Al for Halloween this year.
He was? No. Oh. Yeah. He was on
Hot Ones.
He was on Hot Ones recently, mm-hmm. which he showed us his butt pictures. Yes. In which
pinky makes a good scrotum.
Yeah, which is entirely. I want to see his. I want to see an. He's not on social media in general, but I want to see an Instagram thing with him because he was talking about how he has thousands of pictures of celebrities with his butt camera.
So to clarify. He'll take a picture of a celebrity with his finger just over the top, like part of the camera, so that it looks like butt cheeks.
Yeah.
So it looks like a picture is being taken of the celebrity through the legs of a naked man. And then he'll like have his pinky hanging down in front of there so that it looks like he's hanging dong. It's a skill. Like I could not. I tried. I tried to recreate how he does it, but I couldn't. Yeah, Paul Rudd, good stuff. But anyway, continue. There's an 8-episode thing on Netflix, Andy. He's busy with that.
It's like Shadow Animals for the mentally deranged.
It's called Living with Yourself.
Living with Yourself, which is...
Multiplicity.
Yeah. When they were talking about it, they were trying to make it sound like, oh, this is an original thing.
And
I'm like,
it's Multiplicity.
And it really is very, very similar to Multiplicity. The whole premise of the show, and it's not really a spoiler because it all happens in the first episode, is this guy goes to a spa... and to get revitalized. And it turns out what they do is they just basically make a clone of you and then, you know, re-engineer that clone a little bit to make them better.
And then they just kill you.
And then they just kill you. Okay. Except for they fucked it up, and he's living, and he wandered back home. And so that's just him dealing with a clone of himself.
Yeah, it's Multiplicity.
Yeah. I do want to see if they make a... I'm about halfway through the series now. It's kind of a slow roll. They do feed into each other, so they have a lot of cliffhangers. But yeah, it's entertaining. It's Paul Rudd.
I know one little spoiler like towards a later episode just as like a funny little side thing that happens, but I won't go into it until after you're done.
Yeah. I want a number four, though.
True. I mean, you mean in real life you want a number four of you?
You don't want that. Nobody wants that of me. I think I am the number four.
You're exactly. So you need a number 16.
Also, that was a very bad movie.
Multiplicity?
No, I am number four.
Until, like, who was she, like, number 6 or number 5? Whatever that. When she showed up, it got awesome. It's like, where the hell has she been all movie?
Yeah.
Also, the villain was fun.
Yeah, they reminded me of the bad guys in Critters. Not the bad guys, technically the good guys in Critters.
The bounty hunters?
Yeah, the bounty hunters.
Yeah, they're the bad guys if you rooted for the Critters.
Yeah, but...
So my other recommendation...
Is The Gate?
Is not The Gate. So there is a guy named John Boyce, B-O-I-S. So it almost sounds like a joke where it's like John Boyce, say goodnight, John Boyce. But John Boyce, who does little like documentary style things. He had his own YouTube channel. And then there's also a YouTube channel called SB Nation that he does a bunch of stuff on. Mm-hmm. And every one of his videos is the most fascinating goddamn thing.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of his SB Nation videos.
They are amazing. The stories he tells, the way he tells them, like... He's so gifted as far as documentaries go. I don't give a shit about the stuff he's talking about, and it's still fascinating. Like, one big example is that I was fully invested in a 43-minute video about the history of players named Bob in all sports, and it was part one of two. It's like a 2 hours between the two things, and it's like 45 minutes and then like 52, so like an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. All it is about players with the first name Bob and how the name Bob has become less and less popular in sports. There's only 9 active players in all of sports with the first name Bob left. He tracks the rise and fall of the popularity of the name, and he goes into some specific stories, little microcosms, and it's amazing. And it's just about the name Bob. Like, why should you give a shit? But he's so good. I cannot recommend highly enough his own personal YouTube channel, John Boyce, and then everything that he has a part in SB Nation. This guy should be the next Ken Burns. He deserves it. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
I'll piggyback onto that he had a video call on SB Nation called The Search for the Saddest Punt in the World.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Where
you should watch
every
it.
Every single punt. Yeah.
And then
he also has a great one. He did where I found him originally was I was showing Raylene, I was talking to her about the Cumberland University Georgia Tech game that was 222-0, mm-hmm. the most lopsided football game in NCAA history and all history. I mean, it's probably the most lopsided game in sporting history. Yeah. And he had a video on that was phenomenal. And then I went down the rabbit hole. The saddest punt one's super good too. Look it up. Like I might post a random one of his videos on the Crippled System Facebook just to get people to look at it. But he's so good. He's so gifted. Mm-hmm. And so, yes.
How the fuck does he do that?
Yeah, I can't do the butt fingers.
I got like, it's about as close as I got.
Yeah, it's, you got a wrinkly old man butt in that picture.
But it's,
maybe he just has very gluteal fingers.
It's just how he's able to angle his fingers on there. Because the problem is, though, is you get the this part. So, like, because if you're able to keep it straight, you could get something like this.
Yeah.
But my finger just bends.
I mean, is the podcast now going to be people listening to us trying to take pictures of each other? I don't think that's good listening.
No. Oh, man, they look so good. They look so close. But then the back part is...
Okay, I'm not going to just say... No.
But yeah.
No, it's not good radio. Did you have... Yeah, that's our recommendations.
Yeah. No.
Good that's for it? Us.
No.
Yeah, I did my 2, John Boyce and Outer Worlds, and we got Bloodstained.
Nope.
Curse of the Moon.
No, I'm sorry.
Ritual of the Night. Although piggyback on Curse of the Moon is also good.
Mm-hmm. Curse of the Moon is. I mean, if you like Castlevania 3, mm-hmm. It's basically Castlevania 3 redo with a multitude of characters.
Ninja Gaiden, right? Because you can also play the version with none of the sidekicks, which is almost then more of a Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. There's 3 different ways to play through that game, and they're all unique.
Do I own the Messenger? I don't know if I got that yet. I have Blaster Master 0 and Blaster Master 02. Those are pretty good, too, for the Switch. Anyway, Zappity!
Rumble.
This is not what you look for in a good D&D stream.
Just rambling?
Just rambling.
That's pretty much what we are.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks, guys, for watching.
We'll see you guys next week.
We should be here. Game Hole Con is happening.
I recommend Mango Pepsi.
Do you want the rest of them?
No, I'll drink them and get fat.
Yeah?
How dare you, sir?
Just space it out. You don't have to drink them all in one day.
Andy is willing to take that risk,
Nathan. I have
no
self-control, and I hate myself.
Okay.
That's a BoJack quote.
It's also a Nathan Hoffman quote.
That is true. We are. Have you ever seen us in the same place?
No.
I am BoJack Horseman. It's like the saddest I am Spartacus.